Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we have Anthony 678 area code. We're discussing this evening Israelites and racism.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Shalom.
Shalom. Yes, like you said, it is absolutely absurd to consider black Hebrew Israelites in America as being equivalent to the KKK. That's just another method of denying the institutional racism that is executed against black and brown people in America, particularly black Hebrew Israelites. That's just an excuse to subjugate and to hide the real subjugation and oppression of black and brown people. But I got a comment. What good does it do to be a person born from the promised seed of Abraham and a black Hebrew Israelite if you do not receive the promise that Jesus died to give you, the promise of eternal life? And I get on Christians and Hebrew Israelites because I find it very sad to learn that a lot of them, Christians and black Hebrew Israelites, do not believe that they have to be baptized by the Holy Ghost as Christ commanded in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and which is described in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, that is necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, no man shall enter the kingdom of heaven, when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. No man shall enter the kingdom of heaven unless he's born again in the spirit. And Jesus expressly stated to his disciples, a commandment to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. And that is the spiritual baptism Jesus told Nicodemus is necessary in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But many people today believe that all you got to do is believe. So that belief alone is going to have you standing in front of God without a dress on and being subject to the judgment of death because you have not obeyed the commandment of Jesus. And a lot of black Hebrew Israelites say, well, you got to obey the commandments in order to receive eternal life. Well, the commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples is equivalent to the commandments God gave Moses. It must be given as much deference. So when they say you got to obey the commandments, well, I want to ask black Hebrew Israelites, since you're so up on obeying the commandments, And you constantly say that you got to obey the commandments. Well, God gave Jesus a commandment. He did not only give Moses a commandment. He gave Jesus a commandment. So you got to give as much deference to the commandment God gave Jesus as you did to the commandments God gave Moses. And God gave a commandment to Jesus, and Jesus commanded us in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 to not leave Jerusalem until they receive the promise. What is the promise? The promise is the promised gift of eternal life that's necessary in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. He commanded us to be baptized by the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And when you're baptized by the Holy Ghost, according to John chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, that is when you receive the promised gift of eternal life. So,
okay. I'm with you, but this is what I need to say. This is what I've learned, and I can tell you pretty learned. Like the Bible teaches us, brother, to be able to condescend to the lowest level. There's a doctrinal way of teaching, and there's another way of teaching. Like, for instance, if I'm going to, like, I grew up as an Israelite, right? Israeli school of UPK, Israeli church of UPK. So if I'm going to deal with an Israelite, what I would do is I would go to Deuteronomy first, right? I'm going to Deuteronomy 28 and 15, since they're in the Old Testament all together. I'm just edifying with you to show a quick way of doing what you're doing. Deuteronomy 18, 15 reads, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And I'll ask, who's that? Who should you listen to? And they'll say, it's Christ. Right? "According to all that I desire of the Lord thy God in Horeb," right? So he goes into it, that he's going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's Christ. I'm like, well, okay. And it says, you shall hearken unto him, right? And then you go to John, the third chapter, and says, if you're not baptized, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who said that? They'll say that's Christ. Well, didn't God, the same God who sent Moses, wasn't written in the precept that you're supposed to listen to that prophet that was like unto Moses? So what I do is I'll make it where you take how they feel themselves. You have to take them out of the equation when they say, well, all you have to do is believe. Because it's obvious you don't believe. Because if you believe, you would listen to the words that came out of Christ's mouth. So now you can't now filibuster me by claiming you believe. You are an unbeliever. See, you have to show people they're unbelievers when they think they are. Got it? Now, the next thing is this. When it comes to a Christian, Christians are, I hate to say this, but it's true. You have to teach Christians more from the emotional side of things, outside of just sheer logic. Because most Christians are driven through emotions first. Right? Like Christ says, I'm gonna make you fishers of men. So you have to know what bait to use to bring them to the logical understanding of Scripture. So Christians deal with belief, but usually Christians are driven through fear. They're taught to be driven through fear. Okay? Now, in order to get them out of that fear, we must build them in Christ. But since they're fearful, we're going to use that as a tool that would have them see Christ and then build them from being fearful, or teach them what to fear or who to fear, which is God and God alone. Right? So Christians are more emotional. I know, because I grew up in the Christian church, and it was more so emotion over sheer understanding of precept, where it's how I felt more so than what the Word of God said, right? So understanding that, this is how you deal with the Christians when it comes to them not receiving Christ's Word. You go straight to them and you say, well, listen, Christ said in Matthew 7 and 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, if there's a man of Christ or a woman of Christ who fear Christ, they'll think twice once hearing Christ stating in his own word. There'll be many people who did all these great works and claimed to believe on him that will be denied once Christ returns. So now what you're doing is you're having them now, that particular individual, question what side of Christ they're on. Or will they be accepted by Christ or not? See? That's how, now they can make a logical decision, but now they're going to, because why? They're going to err on the side of caution now. It's not going to cost me anything to be baptized and be on the right side of things. But I'd rather do it all than have this undone. with all the works I've done for him. I'd rather just tie it all together and do everything he told me to do so that he's not looking at me on the other side saying that I never knew you. So these are the two places you would rather go. You would go there with Christians who are denying, who really think they believe but don't. And you will go where I went in Deuteronomy 28 when it comes to Israelites, where it says, here's the prophet. You must listen to him. All right, brother, let me go to the next call. Great call as usual.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Anthony, I cut you off. What'd you say?
Oh, I said, you're one of the greatest teachers I've heard. I first started listening to the Hebrew Israelites. You're the one that that I listened to for several years and learned more in 6 months than I learned in 20 years.
All praise be to the Most High.
So keep up the good work. And
thank you, sir.
Yeah, because you are really a man of extreme knowledge and wisdom. And
it's all the Most
nobody
High.
And nobody can deal with you as long as you remain confident
in Christ.
In Christ. Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And guess what?
Right.
It's okay. I'm just doing the will of my Father. I'm doing the will of my Father and in the Spirit of Christ to finish, you know, to finish what he has in his church to finish for myself. All right. But all in all, I'm not doing anything you can't do. So
right.
We just have to learn right and be utilized.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank
yep.
you, my brother.
Thank
right.
you, brother.
All right. Shalom. Okay, God, did you say you had a word real quick? God, you there? Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom, you said you had something? You had something you wanted to say real quick?
Yes, Elder. Yeah, man, how you doing?
I'm blessed by the best. Talk to me.
Man, I'm just listening to the broadcast, man. You get me? And, just thinking, you with me? And it's like this media intention of trying to put Israelites out there as violent and disruptive, and you with me? And the KKK, the placement, you with me? I mean,
yeah.
that's all a lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to read something here out of the Bible to bring just for brothers and sisters to understand something about who we are and keeping the laws and how and what that does as a nation of people.
Okay.
You with me? Outside of church. So I'm in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, right? As a matter of fact, the 26th chapter. Excuse me. Yeah? And it reads something like, I'm going to go straight to it. Verse 3. It says, Leviticus 26 and verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield or increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. So as a nation of people, if we start to keep the laws and commandments of the Most High, we are going to have rain in due season. There will be no flooding. Our fruits will grow to the vintage. And, we will be prosperous. And one of the main things that you see going on right now that they're looking to, and they've been doing this from the beginning, cutting down food supplies, reducing rations. You with me? People have no food. They have no strength. Verse 5. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. So there's no warfare going to come to us. And that's something I believe that they understand that. They understand, listen, if we get them off them God, then we can go in with warfare, weaponry, and totally take them apart. Check this out now. This is where I was getting at now. Verse 7. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. So this is the real problem, because why? The only people in here that forgot identity, culture, and roots, you know, and ability and the connection with God is the people who are waking up right now. But the entire earth remember this. The nations remember this. That when, you know, there's a time when these people were together, that if we came up against them, 5 of them could take down 100. And 100, and I don't believe this is the Bible using hyperbole, being exaggerated. No. Because when you look at, when you go back into the stories in the book of Joshua, and the kings around about, when Simeon and Levi went and took down the city of Shechem, and the other cities around about decided that they wanted to take revenge, the men spoke up and said, yo, listen, it was 2 of them that took down Shechem.
Yeah.
There's 120 of them over there right now.
Yeah.
How do you think you're going to manage that?
Yeah.
You understand, when Judah went down into Egypt, and the battle cry, and you read all the stories, these people remember what happened when the power of the Most High is with us. So no, the narrative now is to, okay, let us demonize them, right? Where we can then create support, just like what they did with Rome when Nero, you know, burned the place down and then blame it. The false narrative, the false flag, the false media, right? And blame it on the people. It's the same sort of tactics they're using now. We're all right, then let's demonize them. Let's put these things out there. Yeah, they're promoting rape. You with me? Some crackpot jump off a building somewhere, and they said that it was an Israelite. The Hebrew Israelite cult. And it's drumming that narrative. So anybody can talk about Hebrew Israelites with being racist. No, we have no media power or money to promote racism against any nation of people. We are at the bottom of the pile right now. You understand me?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is an impossibility for that to happen. You understand? And I just want the people to understand that they, you know, the nations around about understand the effect and the power that the children of Israel have, and understanding that they're coming together, keeping laws, is a problem. The church and the state. Let me get this. 1 second. I got one more precept here I want to read. If you don't.
Okay, one more. You know, I got to, I'm with you.
I know, man. I know you're in the man. Let me just get this real quick, Ella, yeah?
All right.
I'm in the book of, John 11, and John 11, start at verses 45. All right? As a matter of fact, where am I? Here. Sorry, I should have just had this put down before I came online. But let me just paraphrase anyways. The gist of it is this. Yeshua raised up Lazarus, okay? And the rumor started to spread around that he raised the dead. And the Pharisees and the chief priests and everybody took a counsel against him to take his life. Why? Because they were linking with the state, getting money, getting power, because through Rome. And it's the same thing. These churches right now getting power through Rome. And the Israelites is coming and shaking that power. Regardless of doctrine that we may have and differences that we may have doctrinally, the truth is that we are the children of Israel anyways. Okay? And that is shaking the foundations of the establishment. And that's the problem right now going on. And
well,
I leave it there. Yeah?
Well, guys, I'm with you and thank you. And one thing that stands out is that, and I was going to pose this, and maybe we'll talk about it at another time. What can we do? What can Israelites do to make sure the image is the image of God that was intended within an Israelite? Like, unless we give them the footage to demonize us, they wouldn't have any fuel. So it's time to start understanding that it's not about being provocative to get attention anymore, because now, why? We had a time where Israelites don't have to do anything provocative anymore, all right? When it comes to the Bible and the awakening, Let me tell you, I'm going to put it this way. Kanye West, right, was in the studio in a nutshell. And I'm going to tell you right now, he know he's an Israelite. Beyond any shadow of a doubt. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. Not only Kanye West, Drake. Now, even though they're still dealing with their struggles and juggling whatever notoriety they have, at the end of the end, it cannot be hid anymore. So it's time for us to get away from this provocative, let me do anything to be the most provocative or divisive so that my video can be viewed based on how provocative or I could be or outlandish. And it's time to operate in wisdom and understanding that you are representing an image when you're teaching. So it's going to come a time, it doesn't matter what group you're in, that you're going to have to realize that what you're doing does to a degree represent the whole. So it's carrying ourselves so that we'll be presented like Christ for those who are within and those who are without. That means people that are in the world will see that it's a good thing to be an Israelite. So it's time that we start looking at how we are carrying the word of God is what I'm saying. But go on, Elder Lloyd.
Yeah, man, Elder. Check this out, right? I remember when this is going back 12 years now, when me and you had a conversation, you probably don't even remember it, right?
Yeah.
And we were at my mother's living room and we was talking, and I was talking to you, but I was coming from more of a black nationalist perspective. You with me?
Yeah.
And you said to me, I don't know if you remember this, I think Shakom was there with his wife, and you said to me, no, man, this is necessarily a black thing per se. You know, we have a sister here who is from the tribe of Issachar. You with me? And you know, she's not black, and it's not black centric. You with me? And I remember that stuck with me, and I remember learning now, and you know, the whole white man, the devil thing was the big thing, and I remember you saying it then. Listen, you can't teach people the white man's the devil and think that you can form a nation like that by just coming in with that rhetoric of the white man's the devil. And I understood it from then. And then it's like, even with the videos them that would go up on YouTube, I mean, YouTube wasn't inundated like how it is now with videos, but the ones that were going up at the time, the few of them, that would have been the talk. And a lot of it, what people have to understand, a lot of it is entertainment. A lot of it is edited. You know, I see some Israelites in Jamaica who out there in front of a camera by themselves for 4 hours just talking to a camera. And you know that going up on YouTube afterwards. You with me?
Yeah.
No, it has no point. It has no point. You understand me? And I think that I don't think we're gonna ever get rid of that. I believe though that what we have to do though, as you know, is continue to do what we are doing, because you know Paul said that.
Oh yeah.
Paul said this. Paul said, check it out. Heresies must come in, so that those who are approved would be made manifest. You get me? The crazy of Israel out there is always going to be out there, and that will always get the attention. But that will then separate who need to be on one, this is my opinion anyways, you know, who need to be on one side as opposed to who need to be on the other side. Let me tell you what I'm saying.
Right? Because I understand it's all going to be out there. No doubt about it. But I remember teaching when this stuff started, when YouTube became popular, Gaja. Mm-hmm. And I noticed Great Millstone, because don't forget, before there was any such thing as YouTube in the 90s and the 2000s, the early 2000s, it wasn't no IUIC, Gathering of Christ Church, Israeli School of UPK. We were all under, in the 90s, the Israeli School of UPK, then it became the Israeli Church of UPK. IUIC ended up going with the House of David with the guy who was calling himself Moses and David reincarnated. That's a story all in itself. But I remember, Elder Gaja, I remember doing a lesson on the Star of Moloch. Listen to me, what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And Great Millstone had the Star of Moloch on. Nathaniel and them had the Star of Moloch on, which is the six-pointed star, right? About a year.
I remember.
Listen, about a year went by, and I noticed IUIC didn't have the Star of David on anymore, and it was going through the same scriptures I broke down on that video.
Mm-hmm.
Great Millstone. Hold up. Great Millstone was going against the six-pointed star. And they had the star on, then it was gone. Then they was using the same scriptures I broke down a year beforehand. Now, am I saying they're listening to me? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when we put it out there, the Holy Spirit takes it. And for those whose heart is open to move to a level to be utilized by Christ and the Holy Spirit will apply it. And that's why I'm making this appeal online tonight. Not that it will change anything, but to give our brothers who are Israelites, even well-learned Israelites, another perspective now that Israelites has arrived. There's a different type of teaching when you're trying to get noticed and you're up against the system. It's another teaching when you're here. When the Most High says he's going to put us before kings and magistrates, that's where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about. But go on.
No, I get it, man. I hear you, man. I fully get it. You with me?
All right. Well, thank you, Elder.
bless you, man. I'm going to come off and just keep listening, all right?
All right. Bless you.
Shalom.
330 area code.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm blessed by the best. His name is Ahaya.
Okay, now. Come on.
All right. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I have also been seeing a lot of racist ideologies aimed towards the Black Hebrew Israelites in general. And a lot of it I've been getting a lot more of that kind of like commentary from people recently, like that we're saying that we're a cult because of our courting processes, or, oh, are you going to make me lean down and kiss your shoes today? And I never used to have this much animosity. The most animosity I had ever had was from people in the mainstream Christian church. And that was mostly on following the law, touches the commandments like we're supposed to be doing, like Ecclesiastes 12:13 says. And then it's like, oh, well, that's what you believe.
So they were saying that, are you going to make me bow down and kiss your boots today?
Yeah.
You know why? Because you have these satanic apologists going into the Black church trying to hold on to the few that's left. And these are the videos they're taking into the Christian church and say, this is how you now defend yourself when it comes to doctrine and all that. So because Black pastors can no longer hold the men in church, they have now employed the white apologetics who were sent out by the Jesuits to keep the church in order. Because why? The Black church. Because the Black church is their money cow. So don't forget, the community churches buy tracts, Sunday worship stuff, Sunday school literature, different books from the theologian seminary conglomerate. So the Israelites was disrupting that. So now the videos of people licking boots and doing all this stuff, their apologetics have packaged this stuff and go to church with the pastors now showing the members this is the image of Israelites to try to keep people within the church they try to keep them from not even listening to what the Israelites have to say, when even when those things aren't happening, the provocative things that seldom happens. So that's all apologetics. And then you have the Christian pastors doing everything they can to keep the few people in their churches that they can. So, because usually members of the church, at one time, they didn't have a response to Israelites until the apologetics started showing all the negative that's promoted through media. But go on.
Yeah, I've been with GOCC for around 5 years now. And
okay.
I've realized that there is not anything else than this, and I'm like, I am here. I'm here to stay. I don't want to go back. I don't care what kind of comments people are trying to make to me. And for me, this is a lifelong thing. I've been here since I was about maybe 14, and this is something that I very strongly believe in it. And having people have that kind of animosity was kind of like, okay. Why are y'all treating me like this? This came out of nowhere, y'all. Like, but then it's like, oh, well, that's them, and I'm me. I know what I believe in, and I'm not going to back down from it.
Well, thank you, sister. And you know, that isn't Christian like. They should receive you regardless, right? Isn't that what they told us? They should that we should receive all races and all that. Well, I believe in Christ, mm-hmm. and I'm an Israelite. Why not receive me? But thank you, sister. Mm-hmm. Great point. All right. We have Charles. 757 area code. Hold on. Let me see. Charles, you're live. All right. We have Joseph has a question.
Shalom, Elder. I just wanted to...
Shalom.
Thank you and all the other elders for all your hard work. You know, all of you have, you know, it's not easy to run a huge organization and being so helpful and a resource to all of us all throughout the world. So I just want to give praises to the Most High and thank you guys for that. I have one question.
All praises be to the Most High.
So like Ethiopia in Isaiah 11:11, or it's Cush in, I guess, the King James Version. But I was looking at the Septuagint, and they name it Ethiopia. Is it considered the political Ethiopia boundaries that we see today, or is it just Africa? Because Ethiopia has been interpreted as the land of people with black faces. Is it just the Cush, as we know, that you know, on the Red Sea? How should we interpret that?
Well, Cushites isn't Ethiopia per se. It is Ethiopia is the center of Cush. Okay, when you look at the ancient maps of Cush, that pushes all the way into India. Okay, so the lines we're seeing now is the colonized control lines after Rome. Okay, but before that, Cush went from Babylonia all the way from Iraq and into Ethiopia, into different parts of India, That's how mass it was. All right. But all in all, we were dispersed there. That's why it tells you in the new, in the Old Testament, it tells you in Zechariah, the third chapter, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through countries according to the way. Matter of fact, it says from Zephaniah 3:10, excuse me.
Okay.
From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplement, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. So our people is also dispersed in those regions also. Different parts of India. Don't forget, Timothy was buried in India, spreading the gospel to the dispersed that were there. All the way into the heart of Ethiopia where our people are scattered, even though there's a lot of Cushites there, there's a lot of Israelites there also. And all the way from that, moved to the Middle East, all the way into parts of Iraq was the original Cush, is your answer, you know, in a short.
And Elder, if I may add on that note, just a comment. I was recently visiting in Ethiopia, and they had this celebration called Timkat. I guess they have this replica of the Ark they do, And they really, even though they might be Kushites, I guess, and they're on a different, you know, Orthodox church, they have this ceremony where they walk the Ark of the Covenant across the whole country, and they really show reverence to the Ten Commandments. And I found it kind of very inspirational, even though they might not be, you know, Israelites. You can tell that they were inspired by encounter with Israelites throughout their whole history. And so their reverence, you know, if you look at all the African countries, Ethiopia is probably the most sovereign, the strongest military, and their society is really held together. And they have their own reverence for the Ten Commandments. So it was inspirational to me as I imagined our people, you know, Israelites just having a reverence for the Ten Commandments and how our society.
Okay. Well, thank you, brother. And it's good. It's a shame that what inspired you isn't seen within the corporate controlled America when it comes to our people. It would inspire them to really gravitate towards the commandments we lost. So, of course, I've heard about that. I've seen that. But they would never promote that here in America for our people. The furthest thing, the last thing they want our people to see is dark-skinned people holding the commandments up and the Ark of the Covenant asking questions, what religion is that, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you,
yeah.
Joe. Great point.
Thank you.
I can also understand Shalawam, and I can understand why you were inspired. 667 area code. Shalom. Sam, how are you?
Good evening, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good evening. Good evening. Blessings.
Good evening.
I had two comments to make. I was just one of the comments you were talking about earlier about it seems like they don't want to tell the truth, you know. And it's funny when you said that because me living my life and coming to the understanding, and even the place where I worked at, and this is where it hit me at usually. You know, it seems like the way how they run the jobs out here is the same way how they run all these organizations. So it's like you get to the job, and there's something that's they truthfully to say all the way. It's, I don't know why they're so scared about it. Maybe it's because they... You get bound by the truth, and you cannot, because that's why I believe that. I don't know if you agree with that, that when you speak something that's all the way in God's truth, there's no way anybody anywhere can distort it. So I feel like they tell half truth, you know, somewhere all, it's not all the way, but it's just close enough where there's a line there, so they won't be bound to it all the way. So it's like,
hey,
it's like,
brother, I'm trying to quantify what you're trying to convey. You're saying your job, no truth. What are you saying in particular in context? I don't know what you're talking about.
For instance, I used to work at Cisco.
Okay.
South Florida. And when you get on the job, they tell you, first of all, it's a Fortune 500 company. So they have a lot of resources. They have this, they have that, and all this type of situations. But then when you get into the place, and then you see what they tell you, oh, we are family oriented, and I was a selector, and I was like, we was the bottom of the totem pole. So really, we the ones who make things happen, but the ones who the salespeople, they're the ones who they praise because they're the ones who make the promises, or we could do this, we could do this, we could do that, but we're the ones who got to, we're the ones who have to deliver on what they're talking about. But they say we family, they say we're the backbone of the company, they say all these things, but when any situation happens, we're the first people they come to if there's some type of cuts that needs to be made, some type of problem here, we always the problem. So then we sit there. So where's the truth at when you said we are family? Where's the truth at when you said all this? Where's the truth at when you said, okay, this is what's going to happen if you do this. This is what will happen if you do that. This is what all these things we're seeing today.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, go ahead, sir.
No, I understand what you're saying. I got to go to the next call, but I understand what you're saying, that like any corporation, they try to sell. We are a team. They utilize us for what they need out of us. They use our creativity
Correct.
To build their company. But then when it comes for the payout and the reward for your sacrifice,
Correct.
You're given a pen and have a nice day, right?
Correct.
So it's
Correct.
Really that they sell us a bill of goods to make us feel we are a part of the team before and through time. Our people realize that we're just a hired hand to be utilized and thrown away until they hire our replacement. Yeah,
Amen.
That's the corporations. Yeah, and guess what? Unfortunately, that don't just happen to us. That's just corporations in general.
Yeah, yeah.
It's them utilizing human resources. I mean, I've been on that side of it. I understand how the wheel works. And the wheel, when it comes to profit, isn't racist at all. It's just that the majority of the people they can utilize for a certain amount for slave labor, let me put it that way, at one time
mm-hmm.
with our community. But believe it or not, the final solution will soon have them replace us in the service capacity. I'll be talking about that next week. They'll have a new group of people in a few years to lie to. They're downsizing our communities so that it can be replaced with a new constituency to lie to, the working class. And I'll talk about that next week. But great point, Sam. I know what you're saying now. I appreciate it.
Yes,
brother.
Sir. Thank you,
All
sir.
Right. All right. You're welcome. 708 area code. 708. 770, Dante has a question.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so I got a quick question. When I ask this, I'm not trying to be contentious or anything like that. I'm just genuinely seeking some, you know, some edification. But according to what I have acquired, you know, or my understanding that the GOCC teach that all nations can be saved, specifically Esau, the white man. And so I was just wondering, could you give me some scriptures to support that stance?
Before you put words in our mouth.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me ask you the question so I can make sure you're asking me right.
Okay.
Are you asking me, do we teach, not just put the GOCC on the side, myself, Elder Ricard Shiar, not GOCC. Are you asking
okay.
me, are you asking me, can the white man be saved? Is that
yes,
what you're
sir.
Asking me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I can answer you if you were to follow me in the Bible. You have a Bible?
I do. I got my phone right here. I can go to any verse you need me to go to.
Do you have a Bible?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to have the Bible answer you. So you can't say it's GOCC or the Gathering of Christ Church, okay? Is that good?
Okay. That's all.
Okay. Wonderful. Hold on.
Right.
I need you to go first. No. No. All that comes in, that's how misdirection happens.
I got you.
Deuteronomy 23 and 7. You have an ink pen?
No, not besides.
Because what I don't want is to waste my time. If you're going to ask a question, you should do the due diligence of writing it down. Why? Because some of this you're going to forget.
Right. I mean, I'm going to say whatever verse you give me, I'll say that, you know.
All right, don't worry about it. I'll tell you what. It's recorded. We're near the end of the video. You don't have to write it down if you're willing to come back, after seeing this video, and view and write it down later. If you're saying you'll do that, I'll go through this with you. If not,
sure.
I won't. Okay.
No, I'll definitely. Deuteronomy, you know, like I say,
okay.
I'm not here to
listen,
be
brother,
contentious. I'm genuinely.
Listen, brother, the Bible says, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, anything else gender strife. So when you come in between, it's misdirection. You don't know it's misdirection, but I'm telling you what it is. Deuteronomy 23:23-7, read that.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land.
Now, what do the word, you know the word abhor means hate, right?
Right.
So according to God's law, Esau is the white man, he's an Edomite. According to God's law, you can't hate him, right?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, God
listen, brother, one more misdirection, and I'm on to the next call. I don't play like that.
I'm not playing
because what
me,
you're
but
trying,
I got
you. No, I'm saying. So listen to me, because you want my opinion, and you're not going to be able to. No, listen. Let me speak out, and don't say nothing in between while I'm talking, and I won't say nothing when you're talking. If I tell you what I say, you can disagree with. But either of us cannot disagree with God. So according to God right here, not the Gathering of Christ Church, not Elder Rekar-Shiar, you are not to hate an Edomite, correct?
Correct.
Okay, let's start there. Now, we both don't hate Edomites. Good. Now, let's go to when Edomites were born. Let's go real quick to Genesis 25 and 21.
All right.
Let me know when you're there. Okay, I'm going to read it. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her and said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thine womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. So we both agree that this is the first child that came out that we are not to abhor, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And we also agree that this is the firstborn that was prophesied to Rebekah, who his children would one day serve the younger, right? The elder shall serve the younger. This is the servant that came out first, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, how will Esau fulfill his prophecy? Where his children are serving Israel, how can they do that dead? Now, I'm going to show you. It's impossible for them to do that dead. So Christ would have to do what? He would have to extend a way in which Esau can get in his kingdom to serve. Now, in order for Esau to serve the younger, he must be saved to do it.
I guess it depends on.
Oh, no. I'm saying. So listen. Listen, brother. I'm teaching so simple a baby can understand this right now. In order for Esau to serve Jacob, he has to be living, right?
Right.
So how does that happen? Let me show you. Let's go to Acts 15 and 14. Hold that and get Amos, the 9th chapter. Ken?
Okay.
Acts 15 and 14. Let me read. Now, here it is. Simeon have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this will I return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof and will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after it, after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all things. Now, in order to understand what's being spoken by the disciples here in the book of Acts, we must go to the scripture they're quoting when it comes to all the Gentiles being called by Christ's name. Excuse me. What does this mean? Well, you must go to where they're quoting from. Excuse me. Let's go to Amos 9 now.
Amos 9 and what?
We'll start at the 11th verse. It's the same thing we've just quoted, but it's in context. I'll let you read it. Start at the 11th verse. You can read it out loud. The people are listening.
No, I got you. It say, in that day will I raise up the tabernacles of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. Keep going.
Read on. Read the next verse.
That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all of their heathen and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this.
And let me emphasize, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, through the gospel, Christ is showing how that will come to pass, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, that we remnant left. And the only reason that remnant will be there is because these are the Edomites who believe in Christ. And all the heathen which are called by my name, that means they follow Christ, saith the Lord that doeth this. These are the Gentiles that's going to build up your walls if you make it. So if Edomites aren't saved, how can this scripture be fulfilled is my question to you.
Well, I guess it would be on your definition of what you call salvation, because
listen to what we're not going to do. We're not going to change the conversation. It ain't my definition. I'm going to ask you a question again, and you're going to answer directly. If Esau isn't saved to live as that remnant, how is this scripture fulfilled?
I mean, a remnant will be saved to serve. I mean,
Hold up, stop right there. Yeah. Hold up. We don't want that one. This is what we want for you.
Go ahead.
That's what we want for you. Because I think you get it now. Of course, we'll be saved. Now listen. Listening is an art. We'll be saved to receive the covenant given to our father by Abraham. They will be saved to do what is in it for them to do in Christ's kingdom. But they must be saved to do it. You're not going to get in just by being an Edomite. You're going to have to receive Christ to fulfill your portion for your nation in the kingdom. Therefore, they're saved to serve. So we are in agreement. Thank you. And I expect you going forward not to abhor an Edomite, okay?
Yeah, but my question is, how do you rectify verses like Obadiah 1 and 18, Hebrews 12 and 17?
Hey, brother. Brother, listen, brother. I don't have to rectify nothing, brother. I don't have to rectify nothing because you're confused, not me. Now, do you want me to give you understanding on those scriptures?
Sure.
Exactly. Okay, in a nutshell, I know where you're going when it says that there should be none left of the house of Esau. But when you go into the Septuagint, it tells you that's property. He will own nothing else. It's not saying there will be, only the mount of Esau will be destroyed, which are they who are rejecting Christ. And we all know who they are. The mount is the top. So I don't have to rectify it. I'm teaching you the proper narrative or the proper understanding of that scripture. Because if they're dead, they can't serve. Okay? Now it's you need to rectify it now. I'm good. All right? Have a good night, and thank you. And I do what you say you're going to do. Make sure you look at this back and you write down those scriptures. And guess what? You must learn again. Because what you're thinking, I thought 25 years ago. There's nothing you can bring out I didn't teach better than what you're thinking. Okay? All right, my brother, let me place you on hold. Okay.
All right.
Brother Don J, he learned something tonight. Shalom. All right. All right, Mariah's on the line.
Hi.
Shalom, Mariah.
Elder. Hello, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
Great. Listen, I've been listening to GLCC and your teachings for years and years. I believe we've spoken a couple of times. I have so many questions, but I'm going to keep it. And I'm coming in all humility as a woman, a weaker vessel. So I know you're a little tough with the men, but I'm just going to slow down a little bit because I am a woman. I do want to ask this one question. I totally believe what you have just stated to the brother. There is a remnant, just like a remnant of us. But then how do we know who to trust? Because the scripture says that we cannot trust our enemies. Like the white young guy that came in to the black church and then shot and killed all those people. I always have that concern of if we let
Before we go there. We got people in Chicago, our color, shooting each other up way more worse than what we've seen in that situation. Now, if we're going to deal with that logic, we got to start looking at, we got to make it where we can't trust our own people either. So let me make this clear. How do you know what happened with Dylann Roof really happened? How do you know? Because the media said it?
Right.
So how you trust someone is based on their merit and your experience you have with them personally. That's how. You don't let the media's narrative of the boogeyman they create to shape our experiences with people we run into. Every person. The Bible tell you, don't be hasty to trust anyone, which means you trust someone based on their merit and experience with you, regardless of what their race is. That's how you do it. You judge righteous judgment according to God's law. If someone treat me right, guess what? I'm going to treat you as Christ would treat me until you show me otherwise. That's how. We cannot go through this earth, especially spreading the gospel with the responsibility of helping fix this earth, insecure and above. Let's move insecure out of the way. Straight up not trusting anyone. Suppose Christ went to this earth without trusting people. Where would the gospel be?
Right. Okay.
So no.
And then the other. Okay.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is the Bible says not to abhor an Edomite or any other race of people.
Right.
Now you're free to serve the living God. Also, hold up. Also, it tells us who will do the separating. Who will separate? You know who's going to do the separation? Christ is. He will do the separating. It tells us in Matthew 25 and 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, that's all races of people. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. It's not up to us, judging through our what? Tainted lenses, to decide who goes into his kingdom. Suppose we're looking at a white man and don't know that his grandfather was black as I was. So it's not our position spreading the gospel to decide who goes into Christ's kingdom and say, well, I can't trust you because of the, believe it or not, this racist narrative, the way it's spun, was actually used as a tool to keep people from coming together to talk about the real enemy, who's actually created the media and the corporate division that we are experiencing right now. They shape that, looking at roots and seeing the white Christian beat you and all that, when it wasn't white Christians behind the production. So when you look back at it, you'll see, well, hold up. Someone is playing everyone. And the only way for me to get out of this cycle of division and thinking that all people are my enemy is to view the earth as God do and his son does. That's okay. It. And let me tell you, it's the media job to stoke the fire with a racist story every day so that no one trusts one another. While they divide us all and pick off everyone who's not down with the satanic corporate Borg. So, sister, the only thing I can tell you, you cannot walk through the earth without trusting people, because it'll leave you alone. That's number one. Number two, sister, keep in mind that you can only judge a matter based on your own experience and what people have done to you. And if that's the case on the logic that was expressed, when it comes to trust, I wouldn't be able to do this work with all the things that people have put out there about me that are wrong and said things about me that wasn't correct and did all these things. If anything, with that logic, I wouldn't trust my own people. But I could never be like that towards them, because Christ said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Trust them. Love them anyway. Sacrifice and put your life out there like I did for them, for they know not what they do. You cannot go through and do this gospel and do this work for Christ not trusting people. It's just that simple.
And then
okay?
The other comment I wanted to say is that, you know, I've gone through the academy, and I will tell anyone that's listening, it's one of the greatest experiences that I have had, and I will be joining again, and I thank you so much.
Thank
all
you.
Of the elders. I mean, it's eye-opening. You will be able to understand the word like you've never understood it before. And also, I want to be baptized. I've been with you all for a long time, and I don't know, it's been a little difficult trying to get baptized. I'm in Florida.
Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll give your number to Fresnel. Hold on, I'll do it while I'm on the line here. And your name is Mariah?
Yes, Mariah.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. All right, here's Fresnel. And I'm going to write, you can be reached on this number, correct?
Yes.
Okay, he'll call you up.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much, Elder. Thank you for all
the
questions.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'll tell you, there's no better call to really digress with outside of some of the calls I've received, because why? A lot of our people think, believe it or not, being an Israelite is to believe that the white man can't be saved. And I'm glad we had a call like that, because it doesn't make sense to talk about white people not being saved. That's how you know they don't understand the gospel. And then teaching that he's Esau and that the elder shall serve the younger. It doesn't make any sense. How will he serve? Dead. So then he'll try, instead of being humble and say, well, listen, can you, elder, can you clear up my misconception? Why? Because I've been listening to every Israelite saying that the white man ain't going to make it. Can you humbly just tell me the truth? He's going to come with a sideways of how do you resolve this, as if there's some other scriptures that will undo the elder shall serve the younger. I'm here to tell you how the remnant of Esau gets in the kingdom to serve you. The gospel of Christ. Repenting for what their forefathers have done, the sins they have done in this earth, to have an opportunity to fulfill what's written in what? Genesis 25. The elder shall serve the younger. So that's where I go with these Israelites, because why? I've taught it, the whole thing of Esau. Sometimes I see some of these people, these young brothers on YouTube just learning, teaching it. And believe it or not, if I was still in it, I could give them more scriptures than what they're actually using. I could. I'm like, no, you're not going to be effective in convincing people that way. You're missing this scripture and that scripture and that scripture. And then if you put those together erroneously using the word, you can have people hate white people constructed that way. Okay, but that's not what the gospel is for. That's not what the Bible is for, because the Bible said, according to the law, that we are not to hate white people. That's it. Because why? When Solomon went against God, he stirred up Haman, the Agagite king, Haman, the Edomite. Not the Agagite king. What's his name? Not Haman.
Hadad.
Thank you, Elder Lawyer. Hadad, the Edomite. He stirred up an Edomite to go against Solomon because Solomon disobeyed God. Now, what was Solomon going to say once this Edomite was wreaking havoc on him and his men? Stealing stuff from him, blowing up roads, making trips hard for Solomon. What was he going to tell Hadad the Edomite? That he was a devil? No. If you sin, your little brother will lie in wait. That's the rules of engagement. As long as we're sinning against the Most High, the Edomites will be used to chastise our people for disobedience. And you can't look at the belt instrument that's using to chastise you as the devil. Instead, we should be repenting so that the Most High can give us the upper ground. That's the backward thinking. Instead of correcting ourselves, we want to project by thinking everything is the white man's fault. Well, the white man got in position due to our disobedience. So what are we doing to get the moral high ground so that the Most High will not use the Edomites against us? He can only do it if you sin against his law. Gabara, last call and comment. I'll get you again. Can't get you again sometime because I'm late. I'm well past the time. Gabara is the last call for this evening. Shalom.
Shalom, elders. Gabriela, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. The floor is yours.
Yeah, just real quick comment and a real quick question. I'll yield to you. The comment was about the last brother who called, arguing about the status of what will happen to Esau. I think, and just from my experience, I must agree that I struggle with it as well, and that you want to, your logical mind tells you, it doesn't seem right to dislike these people because, you know, you want to believe that they're going to disappear because you want to have that hatred towards something. That's your ego. But yeah, as you said, the logical mind says, no, that doesn't seem right. They got to be there to be able to serve in the end, number one. And number two, it's pretty clear that not all of them die. If you read Obadiah well, it doesn't say that. But so I agree with that, and I just want to comment on my personal experience. It's difficult at times to say, you know, these people that you associate with the marginalization and oppression of your people worldwide, it's difficult to say a few of them will be saved, but it's ego, and we all have to get over it. And then finally, the quick question was, it's interesting that this teaching was about racism. I was listening to a podcast with Jordan Peterson, you may know him, and he talked about how the lack of accepting one's identity is the beginning of the destruction of their people, speaking of Edom, and that he associated also with Satanism, and that the people that don't know how to accept their identity will, you know, the few of them, it's called creativity, very few of them are successful, but for the most part, those people will take a great risk, and they're usually completely wrong. And accepting those people actually contributes to the degradation of a people. And I immediately thought to myself, that sounds like what has been happening to our people for the past few hundred years. I thought about my daughters. So my question now is suggestions, references in the Bible. Well, that's one thing that I tried to teach my daughters and our women to have that identity, because you want the identity, and immediately you want the identity, you automatically start thinking, okay, in order to push that identity, I have to, quote-unquote, hate the enemy. You see the temptation there? But I don't want to fall for that temptation. So rather, versus scripture, to say, honey, to my little daughter, this is why you should accept your identity and know who you are, and, you know, not try to push the identity of other nations, not that they're bad, but accept the identity of your own nation, because it is the edification of your people and the praising of the Most High.
Okay, and what's the question in specific? You? Okay, okay, is it more comment? Okay, I got what you're saying, but the whole thing is, listen, I think we're the only people in the earth feel a need when given the information that would put the self-pride and the intelligence of the Most High in our people. We're one of the few people in the earth that wonder how it's going to affect other people. Right? So the bottom line is, like for instance, if I teach someone that they're an Israelite, or I come up to someone and say they're an Israelite, they're not thinking of the benefit that comes with them. That's the unselfishness with our people. They're thinking, well, if I'm an Israelite, does that mean other people can experience the kingdom that you're offering me? Automatically, our mind goes towards the benefit of others instead of ourselves first. And I believe that was a strategy that was instilled in us in slavery, not to think that it's right for us to have something for ourselves without including everyone else. So what I'm saying is we have to teach in the Bible in its proper perspective, which means if I'm teaching my child or teaching you, I'm giving this to you.
Yes, yes.
It's not about other people. This is what belongs to you. I don't have to be conscious of how instilling some pride into my children concerning a history that was lost going to affect someone else, because it's not their business.
Sure.
When it comes to the Gentiles, I'm only focused on their relationship in the gospel in the New Testament with Christ, pertaining to Christ's kingdom. And they are to receive that, you understand, joyfully, like the Gentiles did in the New Testament, in the epistles.
Very good.
And you know what? They can embrace that for themselves. It has nothing to do with us in particular. It's the relationship that the Most High will have with the other races for his purpose of them in the kingdom. So we have to get this guilt complex out of our minds when conveying self-pride and the understanding of our history to our children and all that. in our minds to believe that we're doing something wrong as if we're slighting other races of people. That thing has to be turned off altogether.
Very good.
Okay.
If you have any scriptures that go that would help all of us, and especially myself, to give to
I would say rehearse Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Read it sometimes and rehearse that to your children.
Very good.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. With that, I'm going to say, brothers and sisters, we thank you for your participation, staying up here all night with us through a serious discussion, Israelites and racism, and I hope a lot of this breaks through so that brothers and sisters can understand the true gospel of Christ, and that being an Israelite doesn't mean you hate anyone, and it's an all-inclusive understanding. It's who I am as a person, but it's not my belief. My belief is in Christ. Israelite is my what? National origin. That's separate from my belief in Christ. And we have to stop allowing the media and others to shape a narrative as if an Israelite is some crazy who believes these outlandish things, and who they are is attached to some crazy black ideology. None of that exists, folks. This is just our history. But outside of that history, if I don't receive Christ, me being an Israelite means absolutely nothing. If I don't receive the son that was sent to restore the promises of Abraham lost. With that, I hope to see you in our Hebrew and Bible Academy, February 6th. Go to historytimes.org to enroll. And if it be the Most High will, for our Patreon members, we'll have an hour in which Truman Burst, the natural herbologist, will tell us, give us insight on how to boost up our immunity in such a time as this. Okay? Tomorrow for our Patreon members. With that, I'm going to say shalom. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up. Sin not. And keep in mind, the Most High is calling back Israel. Shalom, and thank you, elders.
Shalom.